Fish number 16721. It was Greg, reel 5.
Mr. Greg, reel 5. You were talking about the leisure activities on board the ship.
PE, you know, your exercises and trotting around the decks and things like this, you know, and cards. And you enjoyed yourself just sitting up and watching some of the last, well, proper card sharpers, you know, and money.
Did it cause trouble at times, gambling?
No. As I say, you seem to, pals together. You're all one big happy family. If somebody hits somebody, he's got to hit everybody. You know, this is true fellowship, like, to me, like.
Were there games, did you play bingo or that kind of game?
Lotto, you know.
Sporting activities, did you have any of those on the ship?
On the ship, that's what I say, you've done your PT and things like that, you know. Bit of netball and, you know, where the facilities were.
Boxing, was there any boxing?
Oh, the boxing, all sports like that. Just kept you supple, you know.
Ship's inspections, how often were they carried out?
I think about it every day you had a muster. They kept you on their tours, you know, your lifeboat station, things like that. And as I say, the crew, you just had to ask the crew, they were human, you know, and you just had to ask and they help you out. In fact, you got party with them, they'd bring a pot of tea up and have a bit natter with you and things like this, you know. Great.
Did the boredom cause any problems in terms of tempers and this kind of thing?
Not really, because, as I say, we stopped at the Freetown. It was just hours. Then we eventually got down to Cape Town. Well, at Cape Town, we were taken off the boat and we went to a place called Newsenburg or something like that. It was a few miles up the coast and we were in a camp there for 2 or 3 days. Then they brought us back to the boat before the boat sailed, you know. Table Mountain was there. And of course, before we got off the boat, they said, right, there was a boat in water, Australians. And the first thing they'd done, when they got into Cape Town, there were all these coaches, you know, the horse traps and that. The Australians, they clobbered a lot and they were having cavalry charges down the main street, you know. And they warned, you know, we don't want any of this. Keep your noses clean and whatever, yeah. But this camp we went to was smashing. Lovely beach. And the Atlantic was rolling in. Big breakers. I cannot swim. I still cannot swim. But the lads were all linked together. And the waves were still with the tough grain. Kept looking nice and cool.
It was basically just a rest camp for you, was it?
It's like a rest camp.
Did you get any opportunity to meet South African people?
Well, you were warned, go in any back places, watch it. You know, you can be jumped and that. But the colour fellas, they're good and bad, wherever you go. And, me and my pals, a little group of us, you know, we used to all go out together. And we never had any trouble. In fact, we went to a dance. split Cape Town, went to a dance, and this Percy, the lad I was telling you about, that come out of the detention, he met a girl, and she was from Sheffield, and she come home, and we were nattering with her, and she had a big box of chocolates, and I remember we had nearly had all our chocolates. But you never got to dance. I couldn't dance then. Well, I still can't dance. I'll get on the floor and have a go, like. But I had good moments, like.
Did they invite you to their homes in the brief time you were there?
No. Cape Town. We had to walk around the shops, the big stores. It was wonderful, the stores. The fruit juices. You know, you could get a glass of fruit juice for coppers. Lovely. Lovely place, Cape Town. But getting back to the voyage, with getting them breaks, then from Cape Town, this is where the bus telegraph, we're going to India.
How did you take to the increasing heat of the voyage? You'd start off in English climate clothing, and then
this is where we start wearing our shorts with the turn ups on, you know, the Lull and Hardy stuff, and the topies, you know. And the sweat was pouring out of us, but eventually your body gets immune to it, you know.
Did it become very oppressive sleeping below on the decks?
No. Of course, the mess deck we were on was pretty well high up on the boat, you know. I can imagine probably being down below, they might, underwater level sort of business, they might. But on the whole, everybody seemed happy. I mean, some come on deck to sleep at nights. You know, when it started getting hot, you're sleeping on deck, you know, you just brought your bed open. Anyway, for good apple, you know.
So then you left Cape Town and you knew then you were heading...
That's right, well...
For India.
Embassy Canada, we left Cape Town and we went to Durban. We laid up Durban for a few hours, and then we left just on our own, went to Canada, over to India.
Because the war news with the Japanese wasn't good at that time. How did you feel with the knowledge that you were going to India and to the jungle, etc.?
Well. We never actually heard anything about the Jap situation till we got into India itself. But later on, the battalion, they went to the Arakan to fight with the Japs. But travelling up the news, like, we didn't get much news. See, we had went down to go to Madagascar. Well, the job had been done when we got there, and they were puzzled what to do with it. So they sent the Dave to India. And when we got to India, the Indian government, who had to more or less pay for our keep and stuff like this, you know, they didn't know what to do.
Do you recall arriving in India? Where did you birth?
Oh, we arrived in Bombay.
And what was your first... Well, sights of India.
The Gateway of India. But the first thing that hit us was a bloody smell. But when we got ashore...
Was it an unpleasant smell?
Well, it did, you know. But as I say, after you've been there about a month or two, you've got used to it, and he didn't notice it.
What date did you arrive in India?
Oh, dear me. Yeah, I could see I've heard, but...
How long had the voyage taken?
Oh, dear. Never really thought about it.
So when you arrived and you got on shore, what did they do?
3 or 4 weeks, something like that.
What did they do to you then when you got ashore?
Well, when we got ashore, we were put onto trains, troop trains, and we were taken across country to a camp, and it was Ahmednagar. One time it used to be capital of India.
How long did that journey take?
Oh, about 5 or 6 hours.
Do you recall the journey itself?
They've got every shutter imaginable, you know, open mesh and all that. They counteract the heat and let air in. The toilets, no sit-down toilets, you know, there are a couple of big feet, you know, in the marble, and you just, and then your trousers down and hung on, heck, you know. And when you go to them countries, you just adapt their ways. Adapt their ways, and you get on better with the people if you, you know. This is what I say. When they come to our country, if they adapt our ways and methods, they'll have a better life, you know.
Were the civilians on the train as well?
Oh, no. It was a
proper troop train.
Proper troop train. See, the whole division. But the DIF, it was split up across India. So it eased. In fact, I'm sure somewhere along the line, there was so much kept off. We paid like tax, income tax, to the Indian government to help keep the DIF. You know, because India had to keep the DIF. You know.
The journey, did you have stops or was it straight through?
Stop here and there, of course. The railways, the guts, you know, wind and twist. Nope, it was in the world, electric. Of course, there's 3 different gauges in India, the railways. And the first big place we stopped there was Pune. And from Pune, we shot up north. In about a couple of hours, we got to Ahmednagar.
When you did stop with the natives trying to sell your things?
Oh, yeah. You get the fruit, selling the fruit.
Had you been warned or had you any discussion about what to expect and what you should do in India before you arrive when you're on the ship?
That's it. The beggars. And things like this, and never lift your hand, don't hit any of them, because they'll swear your life away. If you just look naughty at them, they'll cause trouble for you, things like this, you know. And fruit, warning about fruit. Some of the old timers that had been out before, the battalion had went. Germany started, they had just finished a stint in India. And there was a sprinkle of old timers there, and they, what's this, what's that, you know, and they kept you right. And eventually, we were telling them, the old timers, what to do, sort of business, you know. But, as I say, they're selling fruit, beggars, begging, women. With kiddies and his half an arm, the had to be his arm cut off just to beg. It's a profession with them, and they shake it in front of you, and it makes you sick. Yeah. One time in even Bombay, there's this bigger line of road, and he's all calloused up. They tie themselves for years, and they can't move, you know. And he was in the middle of the road, and there's this. Taxis and wagons and all sorts, you know, and my mate and I, we went over to hump him on the pavement, and this Indian policeman come on, leave him, sir, you know, leave him lying there. you know, it was...
It's must have had a great effect upon you, seeing this kind of thing for the first time.
That's it, that's it. And, of course, after you've been there for a while, you got used to everything. And but well, eventually we got to this Awanaga, and I put one in this camp, and it was a, it used to be Camel Corps Inn before that. And we broke out it. The least scrape, you got sores. And in India, in Burma, all the battles, there's more penicillin and stuff used on the sores, jungle sores, than there was wounded. And it's from the camels, it's something that's passed on, the camels, you know. Hut.
Was it a hutted camp?
Huts, it's these straw bashers.
How many men would be in a hut?
Oh, about 20, 30.
And how did you keep them ventilated and
those windows, you know, you just push the window. No glass. It was just the straw, you know, and you push, putting stuff, a bar in there, you know. And you're on charpoys.
What's a charpoy?
That's like a single bed, rope. And you had mosquito net.
Did you have natives working for you in the camp?
Well, there was a char. Well, that's a come along with a char, you know, and things like that. There's the barbers used to come along and then used to make appointment and you're flat out, and when you got up, you're nicely shaved. Shaved in your sleep. You know, they cleaned your boots and things like this, you know.
That must have been very pleasant after the discipline of England.
Oh, yes. And, of course, the sun was that hot. You could watch an article in just minutes. It was dry, you know.
Did you wash your own or did you have a laundry person?
Oh, there was a wash place, you know. Just a basher with taps in and things like that. And you just use your own. If you sent them to the desi, the laundry, they like starched them for you, you know, your dress wear. Even out there, you had to be, everything was right, you know, on guard, headquarter guard, on a headquarter guard, the brigadier, he'd come on a horse, and if his horse's foot, you had to wait till the horse's foot touched a certain pavement stone, and you turn the guard off, out. If you didn't, he had you by the toes, you know, and
that was when he was a certain distance from the guard.
That's right, that's it. When he was approaching, you knew he was coming. As soon as the horse's hoofs, if you mistimed it, you used to get more of the sadness of that guard, you know, you ended up washing a few Dixies in there.
Did you pay the Indian servants that were working for you?
Oh, aye. Now then, the white people, they had their servants and that, you know. Now the nation just pay them very little. Of course, us Geordie lads, you know, they made a good job of that then. Where they would get 1 rupee off the white people, we can 2 or 3, like, you know. The moon. Of course, it got that the white civilians, they hated us. We had spoiled it for them, like, you know. Then again, the same thing happened to us when Americans come in. You know, when you went into shops, we used to go in and we were told, offer about half, and that's the rough price, you know. And we used to go in and barter with them. Of course, when Americans come, Americans, they had bags of money. And they just paid it off. When we went in, we couldn't get anything, you know.
Did you find that your wage went a little bit further in India than it had in England?
Oh, about the same. About the same. Just 7 shillings. We used to get about 15 rupees more later for 7 bob.
You said you had the guards to do as you had in England.
Oh, yes, I.
And you had to be extremely smart for them.
That's it, huh?
Did you get involved at Ahmednagar? Did you get involved in any ceremonial parades of any kind?
Not really. We were in a camp, the Welsh in the 6th Brigade, our brigade. There's the Welsh, the Berkshire Regiments, the Durhams. There's those Royal Scots. There's artillery, and they were all round the town, you know. There was never any big parades. There's one time there was some Indian colonel, he was an old chap, you know, and he had a big sword with a little wheel on the bottom, you know, and wanted to go with for carriers and give a bit demonstration, you know, and he wanted to ride in one, and I put him in mine, you know, and it was just like a bag of bones. And they were saying, hit one or two bumps, give him a shake up, and things like this, you know. But it wasn't a ceremonial thing. And in Ahmednagar, in the town itself, was a big castle. And there was a prison in there, and what do you call him, Nero, there's two or three of the top Indian
political
men, you know. They were prisoners in there.
To come back to the camp, what were the washing facilities like? Were they pretty good?
Oh, yes, aye. Open showers, like, you know. Inside the washers there. And wash basins, taps.
No problem with the water?
No. No, the well, there's wells there. They used to have the bullocks, you know, pulling the bags up. And my friend, Fred Cottier, I don't know whether you've had an interview with him yet. He gets to the dealer. He was our police sergeant, the regimental police sergeant. And Fred used to get any lads that were in, used to take the bullocks out, off, and put the lads on, and that's what they would do, putting the water up, you know. Or they would have a shovel each, and the first fella dug a hole, and the second fella filled it up, you know, filling the holes, didn't go nowhere. Fred, he's a nice fella, kept right, like, you know.
Food, what was it, did it change from English type food?
Oh, you got dinner, see, meat. The meat was a bit tough because you used to go for the meat ration at midnight with the heat, and that the meat used to go off sharp. Well, they used to kill the beast at night, and it was straight off the beast, at the ovens, you know, and it was tough. You got more curry. Well, the curry was just a big dish of it put on a plate, and used to it was Yorkshire puddings. You put curry on this curry, it helped your body to counteract the heat, you know. Curry.
And did the troops like curry?
Oh, aye, we got well, it was for your own good, you know. You got the rice and bags of rice. In Burma, that's all we lived on, rice. We had poor rations in the jungle, like. You lived off the jungle, wild fruit and stuff like this. You got to know what you could. But the food, plenty of good tea. And there was a nappy there in this camp that you could go and get your banjos, egg sandwich, or bacon, what they call a banjo. Or you could walk down to the town. There's a swimming bath down there. There's some big stores. There's some big stores, and there was two lads here, Indian blokes, you know, same age as us, and they had big stores in Sheffield, and had left the stores and come to India to get away from the fight, the war. It was surprising what you found, you know.
The ladies of the district, was there any problem with VD amongst the troops?
Oh, VD, it was rife. Going to hospitals, and there was a VD wards, and it was terrible. We were shown, like cine photos of VD and what it does. And I said to dear, VD is, it's this AIDS, this calling it AIDS now, it's VD the same. If they want to show on that box what we were showing, it would change the mind of people. The kiddies, the Indian kiddies, the families, you could see their skins and all that. It was VD coming out in them. Terrible.
Was it an offence to catch VD as a soldier?
Oh, aye, you got the nooks rattled. There was a hut, and there was boxes of condoms, you know. When you went down to town, you could take, that's if you were that inclined, like, you could take them. There was ointments and stuff like this. If you had been with a woman to go and treat yourself, you know. But in the cities and that, the brothels, you know. You'd see the lads going, and honestly speaking, I never touched a woman. Just curiosity, and they were standing there, and there's the lads used to go in, and they used to go in. Well, I fancy that one, and they go in, they're a bit field, just like going in through the shop and picking the best, you know. And, oh dear God, and things like this was life, you know.
Did the natives show their dislike of the British?
When you got in these low quarters, you know, you're warned, like, there's certain areas that you hadn't to go into.
Out of bounds,
you know. Now, these two fellas had little smash burns and Sharvin. We got this Tonga, which is a little trap, you know. And the Garibaldi, the driver, he took us into a Grand Street in Bombay. We were on leave in Bombay, and he took us down this sort of bounce place. And when we got off, you know, we told them to pull up, like, and when we got off, there was a whole crowd of them coming out with a little smash. He pulls it, was night, you know, and he pulls the lamp off, and he goes, and I thought, yeah, okay, little and hardy, you know. And smash, he goes up to them, and I drop back leg. And he gets all the Gary rolling and shit, and he says, for 2 pins, I'd kick your horse. And he went and kicked the horse, you know. And the horse, yee! and he hoid the lamp with it. He told him, would get on. And he hoid the lamp with him. And Gary rolling made the girl, and we'll couple of those. Funny. There was rides on in Bombay when we were.
You weren't called in to do anything.
No, we were at just outside Bombay, about 10 miles out. We're doing landing, and those rides in Bombay, and what the carriers, why anything on the top of us, and they were dropping bloody war bricks down on me, you know. Get on the path, Greg. Run over that horse. Things like this. Oh, We were in this restaurant with Churchill, called Churchill's restaurant, and we always went in this back shop, the back room, and we were having a meal. A bomb went off in the front. We were covered in dust and all sorts, and yet, fella, the screaming had gone on. I mean, there's Indians using the same restaurant, you know. It was all this Gandhi, the white hat. And all this went on.